Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In the name of our blessed Savior, my dear friend, certain events in national history are embedded in our minds, and perhaps even the dates when they occur. The last one for me was June the 24th of this year, when the South Champion Tower in Surfside, Florida, collapsed. Now, can you imagine a 12-story beachfront condominium collapsing in the middle of the night while most people were asleep? Way back in November 22nd, 1963 is also an event embedded in my mind. How many of you know what happened on that day? Now, don't shout it out. Don't shout it out. Let me tell you. My wife and I were newlyweds. We had traveled from historic Oregon City, Oregon, the end of the Oregon Trail, all the way to Peoria, Illinois, which at that time, or even before, was known as the whiskey capital of the world. I was there for the third year of my seminary training. My supervisor and I were attending a seminar on November the 22nd by Dr. Granger Westberg, who had just finished a study on the 10 stages of grief. He was a professor at the University of Chicago, a professor of medicine and theology. And he has written a book called Good Grief. I still have the original copy that he gave us at that seminar. And I've also passed out dozens of these throughout my ministry to those who are grieving. We had finished the morning session, and the president of the Ministerial Association came into our room as we were having lunch and said, "The seminar is over. It's time for you to get back to your parishes. Dr. Westberg needs to get back to Chicago." You see, on November the 23rd, 1963, shots rang out in Dallas, Texas, and President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Well, nothing, at least in my recent memory, compares with what happened on September 21st. of 2001, when four terrorist attacks brought grandmothers, families, and others on those planes to their eternal destination. I'm sure we all remember where we were on that particular date. I was back in Peoria, serving Christ Lutheran Church in school. Had gone to the office that morning. Walked across the street from my confirmation class with 7th and 8th graders at our school. When our principal, Terry Mooney, informed me that something had happened in New York City. When I returned to the office, any number of phone calls were waiting from pastors in the area. And through it all, we set up a prayer service for yet that evening for the city of Peoria. As I was driving home from that prayer service, and our home was situated just about a mile and a half from Denver International Airport, or Peoria, excuse me, International Airport, I noticed that at least 6 or more passenger planes were just sitting there on the runways, because earlier in the day, the FAA had ordered all planes in the sky to land at the nearest airport. As we acknowledge the 20th anniversary of what happened on that day, the only place I know where we can find comfort is right here in God's holy word. And there are 3 verses that I have chosen as a time of meditation for us. From Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy security. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will act. Did you catch the key words right here? Trust, delight, commit. Now, if you were to read Psalm 37 in its entirety, you would notice that this is God's world. He made it. He sustains it. And he will one day call it to a close. I have thought often, and I heard it again this morning, that old song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the tiny itty-bitty baby in his hands. This is God's world. All you need to do is go back to Genesis chapter 1. That says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Perhaps you've heard me say before, there's only 2 words in the Hebrew that I still remember from my seminary training. One of them is shalom, which means peace. And the other one is bara, which means to create. God created out of nothing. Here's a quote that I put in the starlight as sort of a teaser for this day. A quote, it says, it's just like God to make something useful out of what we think is rubbish. Oh, did David say that in Psalm 37? No, he didn't say that. Maria Ann Smith said it. Maria Ann Smith was born in the middle of the 19th century in Australia. Her parents, of all things, were convicts. She grew up as a fiercely independent person. She became known in that whole area as a midwife, Australia, New South Wales. She delivered babies, many of them, in the town. Her husband became ill and was up to Maria Smith to take care of the farm and the family orchards. One day, when she was out in the orchard, she saw there in a pile of decaying fruit, a sprig, a little tree was growing up through it. And she took and replanted that little tree. The year is 1848. And from that little tree within her lifetime, came Granny Smith apples. The first crop of green apples. And Granny Smith, when asked about that, she said, "Well, it's just like God to make something useful out of what we think is rubbish." That's the kind of God we have, too. As you go back to the Garden of Eden, God created not only this world, but our first parents, and Adam, of all things, from the dust of the ground. He also put a tree in that garden, the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, "Don't eat of that tree, or there'll be consequences." And there's nothing in the Bible that we can point to that says it was an apple tree. Well, they ate, and the consequences came, not only for them, but it'll be for us as well. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all, for all have sinned. But God didn't forsake our first parents. He immediately set into a plan of rescue. Genesis 3:15 is the first messianic prophecy, and that prophecy was continued throughout the Old Testament times, reminding God's people through tragedies and wars that the consequences of sin will be paid for by the coming Messiah. With that, I turn to one of my favorite passages, and perhaps yours as well, from Isaiah chapter 53. And here's the description of this coming Messiah that says, "For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Does this dying figure of a man, the Son of God, he was. And on that blackest day in our nation's history is Good Friday. On that day, Jesus, the very Son of God, died as a common criminal, lifted up there, paying for your sin and mine, taking it and suffering for it and dying for it. And then he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he died. Not for anything that he had done, but he died there for you and me. For our idolatry, for our selfishness, for our envy, for our misuse of the tongue. The salvation of the world. Surely, Isaiah says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. With his stripes, we are healed. The blackest day in the history of our world. And there are some theologians and historians who date that particular day by looking at Passover times in the Jewish calendar as April the 7th, 30 AD. He died for you, my friends. That's how much God loves each one of you. And they took his body from that cross, wounded for our transgressions, and laid him in that garden tomb. And on the third day, God raised that great Son of his from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He is Lord, Lord of the nations, Lord of the United Nations. He is the Lord, and his dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but he will not be destroyed. Nations will be destroyed, but the Lord who gave his life for us will not be destroyed. And it's that promise for you to put your trust and faith in him. As the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart through this word, on this remembrance day, have that faith in Jesus. Trust him. As the psalmist says, take delight, commit. Do these things, and you have the promise of eternal life with him. Live according to that faith. I want to take you back to one final quote, and this is by Thomas Stonewall Jackson, a general in the Confederate Army. And perhaps you saw in the papers and on the news this past week, for all those who desire to be politically correct and want to rewrite history, they tore apart the statue of the commanding general of the Confederate Army, General Robert E. Lee. This is what Thomas Stonewall Jackson said. My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time of my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to always be ready, no matter when it overtakes me. And it did. Stonewall Jackson, the Confederate general, died at the age of 39 from friendly fire of other Confederate soldiers, and it was all by accident. It was the Battle of Chancellorsville in May of 1863. My friends, I want you to know that for the Christian, there's no surprise ending. You can boldly, in the marketplace, you can, on the front lines of life, you can live without the uncertainty of what lies just a heartbeat away. Trust in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. You do these things, and we have the certain promise that God's going to be with us, with our country, and with everyone that we love and all who trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. You do these things, and you will get the desire of your heart. What more is there to say but amen and amen?